The Around the NFL Podcast has its swagger back.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
What is happening, fellas?
An audio-only show, is that correct?
That is true. A little bit of housekeeping here. We do three shows a week. We're in the season now, so we'll have a show on Sunday nights right after the game. Nobody else in the business is doing it. Nobody's coming close to it. Greg's now going to say, well, actually, there are others that do it, but they don't do it well. And that's an important distinction.
No, we're better than all of them.
Sunday night show we have. Then we're going to have a show on Tuesday and a show on Thursday. And the Tuesday show will be audio only. So if you're looking for us on YouTube, you won't find the Tuesday show. But the other two shows you'll find on YouTube. Go to the NFL channel and search Around the NFL. Yes, what?
The Thursday show will actually be like overnight Friday, right? It'll be up after the Thursday night game.
Right. On the East Coast, it'll essentially be hitting Friday morning after the Thursday night, an hour or two after the Thursday night game ends. It's kind of exciting. We have our own playlist on YouTube, so you can like check that out so you don't miss any. I mean, we're taking over.
Mark, your thoughts.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, the idea of an audio-only show is good. It's a nod to our original listener group, but you guys are looking very frisky, very attractive today, so, you know, the viewer loses.
I've got a hat on, TD. Can't take it away from me.
TD's not even here.
So we are, this is now week one. The countdown is on. We are, what, 48 hours away from actual football? It counts less than 48 hours away when the Pittsburgh Steelers travel to Foxborough to face the defending champion New England Patriots. So we're going to get into that game. We're going to preview the Thursday night football affair. We will also hit some, you know, some relevant news going on in the NFL, because there is some stuff cooking as we head towards a full slate of action, Greg. 32 teams, 16 games.
Plus you get the extra Monday night game this week, which I like.
You love the extra, the late Monday night game.
Put a couple Monday night games every week. I like to spread. Well, that it goes.
Well, it's not the Chargers and Raiders for once.
Well, it goes to my whole theory, which my schedule proposal was have a NFL game every day once the season starts,
like the preseason.
No days off. Just at least one game a day. Could be two or so. You could figure it out. Just do it every day.
I'm just
spread them out.
I'm impressed that you get to have a schedule proposal.
I was going to say, what's your platform?
Oh, Twitter.
Yeah.
I sent it out on Twitter. People like it there. And that way, like, wouldn't you be happy to just watch a little Chiefs-Texans on Tuesday night? You know? But otherwise, it's going to get lost in the ether. No one's going to see that game.
And then, finally, and this is important, our latest edition of Go Get My Lunch, you know, buddy.
More appropriate.
So first, we're going to recap our preseason wagers, propositions, excuse me. Go over them, and then after we do that, we're going to then get into our regular season proposition. So we'll go around the horn a couple times, maybe three times, let them all get out there. And those who haven't, you know, listened to the show before or watched a show before, we put them out there, predictions. If someone challenges us, that's it. A sandwich is on the line. And then these things, I could speak from experience how things worked in the draft. This can spiral quickly against you if you have a bad round of prognostication.
Mm.
But a little teaser, the old Zeuser strikes back in the preseason edition.
Well, it's ebb and flow. You're going to go back down again very soon.
Well, that would be in line with what you did from the draft into the preseason. So, yes, we're going to get all into it. A lot to get to. Behind the glass today, we have the man, the myth, the legend. He is the Irishman, Brandon McGinnis. How are you, buddy?
I'm just happy to be here on audio only because you guys are in a great mood.
What are you implying about the
Wait,
video?
Are you being sarcastic?
Show? No, not at all.
No.
You guys are just in a great mood. We taped some VODs. And
yeah, we're going to have some game previews that'll be up on NFL.com that have a little hint of ridiculousness to them.
Take us outside the room, outside the box, and tell our listeners and engage with them and explain what a VOD is.
It's a video on demand. And the only reason I know that is I heard TD say it about 3 hours ago.
Mm. Where could it be found?
It's going to be actually on the .com. So if you click on the game preview, if it's Chiefs-Texans like Greg is excited for, the video will be in there.
Very good.
Good callback.
Brandon, good work. You're a good man. Let's do some news.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Beautiful. That's a good way to get into this first report. You know, I thought that we were past Spygate. You know, I thought Spygate was gone and gone and buried. You know, we had Deflategate, which obviously, as Wes and I can attest, that's a very fiery, passionate news story in the NFL. But there was a report that came out in ESPN, excuse me, on Tuesday by Outside the Lines, which is, you know, a respected news brand off the Bristol Machine. And the Outside Line report dives deep into the Spygate videotaping scandal of 2007 and makes the case that Roger Goodell's four-game suspension of Tom Brady this offseason was seen by some owners as a, quote, makeup call from Goodell. Roger Goodell, coincidentally, was on ESPN radio this morning and said he did not know, he has not read the report, he doesn't know anything about it, but as far as he knows, there is no connection between Deflategate and Spygate. And I'll tell you what, Chris Wessling, weren't you happy to be talking about this to lead off the show today?
I am, actually, because it's pretty much exactly what I've been saying all along. The whole thing's been driven by paranoia. We couldn't punish you the way we wanted to punish you for Spygate, so we're going to punish you extra hard for Deflategate.
I would read the Patriots' response that they issued, but you can find it on NFL.com if you want. But I will give a teaser. It's long-winded, plays the victim card hard, and is very unbecoming.
Well, it basically points out how the Boston Herald had to retract their Spygate report, that ESPN had to retract something they said about Spygate a couple weeks ago, implying that, you know, eventually this is going to be a lot of retraction as well. I don't think that's going to happen in this case. And I thought, look, first of all, they should have put this out a day earlier so we had time to read it. I mean, you couldn't work today if you read this article and the Sports Illustrated article, because Sports Illustrated also dropped a hammer. And which I actually found their article a little more interesting than the Outside the Lines one. Didn't feel like as much of a stretch. And that was all about the paranoia, as you talked about, Wessling, of other teams, that whether it was founded or not, that they took extraordinary steps when they went to Foxborough to try to prevent the Patriots from doing things. And they did have some pretty good examples of why the teams were so worried.
I think it was interesting the timing of the SI article, the Outside the Lines ones, and Goodell all on the air claiming he'd never read anything, all at the same time within hours of each other after what happened last week. And, you know, one of your points was that, by the way, every team's doing some of this stuff to some degree. I thought the overriding point with the sports, what they were trying to prove or show, was that the Patriots are doing more to a higher degree. I'm not sure I completely bought into some of the stuff they came up with, personally.
Well, it's their reporting.
It's just that I think the point is that the paranoia is it completely baseless?
I don't think it's baseless at all, but it's a lot of people off the record and a lot of people who lost to the Patriots in big games.
And there's some sour grapes there. It is. People from New England.
I mean,
as well.
even the ESPN report tried to address that whether, you know, that these are from people that the Patriots have beaten, and they sort of put that part of the side into their article that you know, of course, there's been a lot of owners that wanted Goodell to take down Kraft for what they believed was favoritism back when Spygate happened, and that because of the success that Brady and Kraft has had, that it's like any business. The guy on top is going to get a lot of people sniping at them. That doesn't mean they didn't have legitimate points
right.
to make.
And whether or not this is all true or not, or if it's all, like Wes says, a paranoia that's swept up in the league, if nothing else, these reports, if the reporting is accurate, tells you that this is not just a media creation, the way the people, fans, and the media view the Patriots. It's pervasive within the NFL that these teams are thinking that the Patriots are, they cheat to get by. That's what this is about.
There was one great quote in the SI piece that talked about someone, a friend of Belichick, saying, back the truck up, because if you look at Bill Belichick, he is such a competitor. What he's going to do is he's going to look at the rule book and he's going to break down that specific rule and find the loophole and attack it, because he looks for weakness in anything that can
right.
help.
Well, that was his defense to Spygate in the first place, was that, yeah, we were taping them, but as the rule read, it just meant that you couldn't use that information in the game that you were playing, that you could use it in the future. Which, if you go back through football history, wouldn't even necessarily be a crazy thing to think. One YouTube clip that surfaced today among all this, and I'm sure it was from a Patriots fan or someone, you know, inclined to believe in Belichick, was John Madden broadcasting a 1992 game between the Cowboys and the Redskins. And he just said offhandedly, well, that's them taping, that's them doing their signals. And he's like, usually in a division game, you're going to have someone from your team taping anyone on the other side and doing their signals. And he just said that offhandedly, like of course you do. If it's a division game, you're going to tape their signals. That's just par for the course.
Not a small point here, but Belichick's penchant for pushing the envelope as far as he can on rules. His mentor, or the guy he thinks is the most important figure in pro football history, is Paul Brown, who did the exact same thing. And Al Davis, the most important figure in the 1960s and 70s, did the exact same thing.
Right, and it all depends what catches, you know, the public's fancy. I mean, some of the things that they've done in terms of moving their pace of play up as fast as possible, certainly what they did against the Ravens last year in terms of eligible receivers. The NFL said that was totally legal, but now they've changed the rules, so it's not totally legal anymore. So I think it's looking for those minute little advantages.
And then going back to Deflategate, Roger Goodell, like we said, was on ESPN Radio on Tuesday. He said that he was open to adjusting his role in the NFL's disciplinarian system following the lengthy appeals process involving Tom Brady and the Patriots. His quote, "We want to get a better discipline system. We're open to that. We've had several discussions with the unit on how to do that." And I would think he would, because the NFL keeps on getting smacked down and all these things. Something's got to change.
But that was the other takeaway that I think we all did agree on last week, was that the continued black eyes on the National Football League and these investigations, with anything that's taken outside of the in-house court system and put in a real court, they just get slapped down. And so, yes, they need to review. And if they don't, I'd have big questions why.
Let's talk some football, okay?
Please.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about a trade. The Kristen Michael, a former Making the Leap candidate who never really took off with the Seahawks, couldn't find a niche behind Marshawn Lynch. Now he's a member of the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys traded for Michael in exchange for a conditional 7th-round pick, which is pretty good value to get back on a trade for a guy that we all recognize to be hyper-talented, if not somebody that hasn't put it together at this level yet. Right, Wes?
Well, that's the price you pay for a player who's about to be released.
Right. He wasn't going to make the team, apparently.
Apparently not. And it's going to cost me 2 sandwiches.
Oh!
A tease.
You had Kristen Michael and who was it?
And
was
Thomas Rawls making the final roster.
Which was a very esoteric go-get.
It was very esoteric. And also, if you remember, we quibbled over if he survives cuts or if he makes it to the week one roster.
That's why you bring,
and he did survive initial cuts.
That's why you bring me with you to set up all the rules, because I'm going to look for it like Bill Belichick.
Loophole.
Any advantage we could have gotten, we got it.
So we have Kristen Michael into a mix that includes Darren McFadden, Joseph Randall, Lance Dunbar. Greg, I'll ask you, do you think, let's play the over-under game. Over-under carries Kristen Michael 85.
Oh, under.
I'm taking the over.
That's a good number.
He's wildly more talented than anybody else in that backfield.
I'm changing my mind already. Yeah. I was already thinking, though, like, he leads the NFL in 80 NFL mentions or posts or podcast discussions per carry all time. He has 52 career carries.
But that's what's so kind of enigmatic about him, is that you go back and look
nice
at
number word.
One, what he accomplished in college. And it's insane. And the praise
word.
Draped on him from people is just how talented he is. But then you look at John Schneider, who we all agree is fantastic at his job, decides that Fred Jackson at age 34 is more valuable than Kristen Michael.
Fred Jackson, the best pass-blocking running back of his generation.
But that's points
Kristen
to what
Michael, unreliable in pass protection.
But that's what
about
points
Frank
to what
Gore?
Michael is not rounded
the
out his game.
Truth.
Fred Jackson and Frank Gore are up there together, yeah.
All right, you brought up Fred Jackson. The reason why Kristen Michael got traded is because the Seahawks, Beast Mode was involved, this is old boy, went out and signed Fred Jackson to a one-year deal. And on top of it all, I don't know if we want to buy into this, but Pete Carroll said that Fred Jackson will, quote, play a lot in the season opener against the Rams. So, Mark, I'll start with you on this. Your thoughts about, first of all, Fred Jackson, a pretty nice situation leaving Buffalo where he never made the playoffs, and now potentially having a real role in that offense. Do you see it?
Well, it's two factors. It's what Chris just mentioned. He can pass block, which they couldn't get out of Kristen Michael. And secondly, he came in one day. They said in one day he had absorbed almost the entire playbook. He's a veteran.
He's a genius.
He's smart. He's reliable. And so he will contribute. You don't have to spend 4 weeks, you know, getting him involved.
We believe
weeks.
That, by the way.
I know coaches
say positive things, but that sounds
pretty
amazing.
He was just like flipping it through, and all he needs to do is see it once, and it's committed to memory. Fred Jackson is a genius.
From Coe College. Same college as Marv Levy, who went on to Harvard.
That's where I'm sending my son. Maybe. He could absorb a playbook in 37 minutes.
Well, maybe that's the difference between him and Michael. I don't know. I don't know anything about Chris and Michael, but a lot of times when I'm wondering, well, why didn't that player work out? It's about picking up the playbook.
If only you had somebody in this room who wrote a high-octane piece on Chris and Michael yesterday and could explain it to
That's too bad. We don't Please. Have it. Oh, you, Wes, are you setting yourself up? Go!
I thought you were setting someone else up, but I guess you're just...
This, I didn't even include this in my piece, but a lot of the bloggers and beat writers have noted that in 3 years, Chris and Michael never figured out how to carry the ball in his left hand. That he was a right-hand only running back. But there's also the fact that Seattle Times had a really good article on this yesterday. Tom Cable's blocking scheme, zone blocking, he asked the running backs to trust that the hole will be there a split second before the hole's there. And Marshawn Lynch always trusts it and make the right decision. Chris and Michael didn't trust where to go when the hole opens. And that was a big problem. I think Michael Robinson, the fullback for the Seahawks, who now works for us at NFL Media, says if this is an open competition, Chris and Michael will be the starter in Dallas. And it's because the offensive line in Dallas, he's never seen those kind of holes.
He'll split.
It's a much different kind of running game.
Don't you think... If I had to guess now, I will go over 85 because I think I've said all along I think McFadden will fall by the wayside. I think Randall could kind of be the change of pace, 150 touches, and I think Michael could step it up once he.
But this is how
learns.
Insane everything. We're a month away from what we were calling McFadden the next great thing.
I never said anything.
Well, no,
about
I mean it's McFadden. Not just any one
that's
person.
That's not so. That's not what we said. The next great thing.
Well,
no,
it's
that's
just
not
that,
what we said.
That
if they, not
if,
even close.
If you believe, I'm not pointing just to the U.S., but if you believe that McFadden's got this rebound with Dallas,
I never did.
Then
I
you
think
don't
he
go
stinks.
Get Kristen Michael.
He stinks.
That's true. The
For
interest in Michael
conditional
shows.
Conditional seventh round
or Randall, any of them.
Randall's going to be the week one starter, but they're gonna spread it around.
All right, boys, let's move on. Let's talk a little Jason Pierre-Paul. You know, the drama between the Giants and JPP is far from over. NFL Media's Aditi Kinkibwala and Ian Rappaport reported Tuesday that Pierre-Paul, who, of course, lost his finger and messed up his hand, jacked up his hand real bad on July 4th, thanks to a fireworks accident, won't be signing that $14.8 million franchise tag in the near future. JPP's hand isn't quite ready for a return, and he could be out a month, if not longer. Now, let's piece this together a little bit. You heard JPP didn't even go and visit the Giants until Monday, and you heard positive reports, probably from his agent or whoever, like he's going to be ready soon. Then he meets with the doctors, and a day later we find out this guy's not even close to returning. So I'm starting to think, I don't know what we're going to get at all from JPP in 2015.
No, he hasn't practiced football in a long time. And this, it's the millionth time we've heard a player be far more optimistic about his status. And if
this is number 1 million. So if this was a video show, we would have confetti falling down, digital confetti. So Brandon's off the hook.
It'd be an exciting moment in the show. I just wonder, like, you're right. A month sounds like is the minimum right now. What are they going to get out of JPP this year? And of course, if you're a player, you're going to say, "Oh, I'm ready for the season," because you're about to be paid $1 million per game almost, and now he's going to miss out on that money.
I can't think of one thing about this defense that excites me.
I can't think of one thing about the Jason Pierre-Paul situation that causes me not to glaze over.
Really?
I mean, it's just boring the heck out of me with this whole story.
I mean, the fireworks thing was exciting.
Right. Since then, it's like, all right, he's not going to be on the field. Why do we keep updating him?
I have a bit of a Sessler that we might not see JPP ever play for the Giants game. Like, this is going to lead to him not seeing a snap because his hand's so messed up and there's all this weird animosity between the franchise and player. And he's going to go elsewhere next year. And maybe elsewhere. Who knows if he plays again?
I'm excited about the Giants defense. You know,
just
to see other teams play against them. You can see 40 points a game when Robert Ayers and Kerry Wynn are your defensive ends and John Beeson, you know, trying to be. It is a terrible looking defense.
That means a lot of Eli to Odell to play catch up.
Steve Spagnuolo could be the cherry on top of his disaster.
You really have it out for Spags, by the way. How does this keep coming up?
Hold on. There's like a list of coordinators that Greg can't stand.
Greg, you're so funny because you are still angry that he got so much credit for the 18-1 season. And you're like, oh, he really got what was coming to him. He was a fraud. And you do not want to see him go back to the Giants and put his career back on track.
Better coach, Spags or John Fox?
Oh, John Fox, definitely.
Oh, okay.
Steve Spagnuolo. was a key part of one of the worst five-year run in NFL history by any franchise. I mean, we always talk about who's had the most pain. I know the Rams won a recent Super Bowl, but those teams under Linehan and Spagnuolo were as bad as bad gets. It's only been worse.
You wouldn't pee on Spags if he was on fire.
That's not true. I've seen some things. You know, my theory about, you know, the Jeff Fisher reporter whisper?
Yeah.
Those are the guys that get me. And Spagnuolo would be in that group. You know, he becomes friends with the reporters, doesn't get the
I love Greg.
So you're on to their games that no one else is on to?
I'm on to it.
Let's talk a little Browns. Let's head to the Browns corner, where we'll start. You know, they're missing their GM, Ray Farmer, 4 weeks for Texgate. Is that what we went with, Texgate?
Sure.
Texgate. Now they're going to be without their offensive line coach, Andy Moeller, indefinitely. The Browns announced Monday that Moeller has been suspended indefinitely, effective immediately. The team didn't provide any further details, but there have been reports that it was an assault of some kind. This is the same Moeller who's had some trouble before, a two-game ban for violating the league's personal conduct policy while with the Ravens in 2011. That was a DUI charge. Now he's out of the picture again. Mark, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, this goes beyond, you know, any one team. I think the league has made it clear what they feel about these kind of incidents. And if you're Cleveland, it's a lot of people surprised that he was working again after all the off-field stuff that happened before. He's a talented coach who made a major mistake. There is more information coming out, and I think Cleveland was right to get ahead of it and suspend him right away.
In other Browns news, they had Terrence West, the third-round pick running back last year, decided he wasn't going to make the team, so they traded him to the Tennessee Titans in exchange for a conditional 2016 pick, the team announced. And Terrence West will help out the Titans because David Cobb, Cecil, your boy, headed to Boomerang IR. With a foot injury? Is that what it is?
I think it's a calf.
IR Boomerang.
IR Boomerang.
What did I say?
Boomerang IR, same thing.
Yeah, it works.
Works.
So that's what's going on with Mark. And, you know, or with the Browns. And I want to, you know, we don't talk about our personal lives too much on the podcast.
We don't?
Well, not too much. We don't,
unless you're Wes.
At least like, yeah, that's true. Wes is an exception. But I do think... this is not going to be a surprise to anyone in this room right here because we all lived it over the weekend. But there is a potential divorce or a separation of
trial
all kinds. Trial separation of Mark Sessler and his beautiful team, the Cleveland Browns. And you know, Mark, let me just set it up. Mark started texting at all of us. pretty randomly over the weekend. It started with a text at 12:59 on Saturday p.m. I'm done with the Browns. They lack basic creativity. They lack risk-taking. I'm out. And then...
great.
Now just a couple more. I won't read all of them. All of them are safe.
I like them all.
But I'm just basically cherry-picking what's allowed without Brandon getting mad at us behind the glass. I'm giving up on everything, which seems more... bigger than just the Browns. I don't care about anything anymore. And then he took a picture. We have new desk setups. And Mark took a picture of his desk. What's missing? My Browns helmet. Why? Because they can F off. Including 30... Oh, then it was like he mentioned 30 years of unpoliced abuse as a reason why. And finally, any time and energy that would have gone to the Browns will now go to P90X, which is a workout.
Keep it going.
A workout machine of some kind. I'm going to get a wicked tight body. F you, Browns. So, right, Mark, we throw it to you now. What the hell is going on out here?
It started with two things. Number one, and I'm not saying we all feel the same way about all these players, but when you have nothing going on in your offensive roster, and I liked the idea of Duron Carter.
Oh, I knew Duron Carter was at the heart of
this. This is my point
A. We tried to get to the bottom of it.
It's not the heart. There's two points, and the second point was more crushing for me, but Carter is someone they could have gotten for free. And they don't. You stick around. You have Marlon Moore at the bottom of your roster instead of Duron Carter. That makes sense to me. The Colts obviously don't know how to scout wide receivers, so why would they want him back? And secondly, you let Kristen Michael, who I wrote a huge Making the Leap thing on, because I do like Kristen Michael, another guy you could have had for nothing. And by the way, you want to be a run-heavy team? Evan Silva made a good point here. You want to be a run-heavy team, so you have two running backs on your roster and six offensive linemen. You could have had Kristen Michael, who at least is an interesting project. I get getting rid of Terrence West, because he's a head case. But I don't like the fact that you got nothing in return when you're going to have injuries. Your second running back, Duke Johnson, has a concussion.
You brought up...
Well, they're going to get another running back.
Who?
Someone.
That's the thing.
So
you could have had
Kristen
Michael. I think the frustration that I texted, every Browns fan has been there if you've been following.
Right, but this was kind of out of nowhere after being a fan for 30 years, you say.
These are some low-level players.
Daron Carter.
Most likely will never make any NFL.
Kristen Michael being the tipping point. Just
what I'm about is go out and prove your team.
Right.
And sign nobody.
Let's ask some questions. Basic questions. You are trial separation. You're going to take a year off from the Browns, you're saying.
Well, number one, there's no taking a year off because we cover them all the time, but I'm not going
to...
I'm going to be a roller coaster every Sunday where my heart is going up and down for a team that's going to win five games, probably.
All right, let's canvass the room. Does any of the three of us believe that at all?
Not even a little bit.
I believe it less than if you hadn't even have said it. Because if you really had a chance to not care, you wouldn't be sending us texts all weekend. Another thing Evan Silva probably wrote, you sent us some Roto-World... post where they called the Browns a clown car, I believe, something to that effect.
It was.
And you said, you know, in the past I would have cared about this, but now I don't have any problem with this.
I acknowledge that I sound like a seventh grader at the heat of the moment here, but that's where my heart is trapped, in a seventh grade state of mind, the last time they were good.
Wes.
I got some love advice for you. 30 years of abuse. Basically, you've been a battered wife. It's time to move on. It's time to start dating Tom Brady to make the Browns jealous.
In a way,
I would see somebody.
He already did step out with Tom at the Super Bowl.
Right.
You've shown feelings
in that direction. Yeah. I would say when you trial separate, sometimes you start dating other
people.
Yeah,
that's true.
I think Tom Brady is your sweetheart.
I mean, I'm not going to change fundamentally. This is my team, but I'm taking a break.
How right, about so
a
dalliance?
You don't want to be assigned to Browns games. You've made that clear.
A dalliance.
Here's the question. Will you watch Browns games, though?
I will watch every team, and so I'll watch them during the week.
But
I don't
no
need to
special...
watch them on Sunday, where I'm trying to cover and write about the game, and I'm going all over the place.
You won't watch the Browns on Sunday?
No.
Is it okay, because we've cycled this out because you did express a frustration that it was part of the show, is it okay to use this sound drop?
You are a factory of sadness!
Doesn't affect
me
anymore.
Let's say Browns, 1-6, and I go, bang!
You are a factory of sadness!
Browns, 2-11, I go, bang!
You are a factory of sadness!
Does that do anything?
It means nothing to me.
How about if later, when we're doing Go Get My Lunch, one of my props is Austin Davis will start the most games at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
I wouldn't be surprised. He might be their best quarterback.
All right, I won't throw it out there then.
All right. So there you go. Mark is taking a year off. Well, it's not...
A trial separation.
A conscious uncoupling with the Cleveland Browns, all brought upon by Chris Carter's son.
It is. Sometimes it's, you know, when you get in an argument...
It's the straw that broke the camel's back.
...with your love, it's not based on what just happened.
That's a good point.
Right? It's something weird sets you off, and you've had enough.
It's like she didn't set the alarm for you, and you slept late, and that brought up the fact that you guys haven't been intimate in months.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
She made herself two pieces of toast and didn't make you one.
We're talking about the Browns here, by the way. So.
All right. So that's news to track throughout the season. I don't believe it for a second.
I predict, should we go around the room and predict when this ends?
Yes.
I'm going to say 11:47 a.m. Pacific time this Sunday when the Browns have a 4-point lead on the Jets.
Okay. I think because Mark is a man of principle, he doesn't want to seem weak, so he's going to make a point not to have it on a TV or a computer screen at work on Sunday, but he will be stealing glances from one of the monitors, pretending he's not watching it, but he will, because that means he was never out. Mark is not out. He's already in.
I'm kind of a mixture between the two of you. He's not covering the Browns this Sunday. And he's a hard enough worker that he's going to be obsessed with these other games he is covering.
That's
so
right.
The feeling isn't going to come Sunday. It's going to come, I'm going to go mid-October on a random Sunday. He's just going to feel the urge to follow the Browns.
According to Mark, the Browns are going to lose 35-6 on Sunday.
Well, listen,
that was another text.
Messy. It's just a big, messy, messy old time right now. So,
all right, so there's the big breaking news out of Cessler Manor. All right, gentlemen, before we get to go get my lunch, we will talk about a little preview.
To say but.
Is that true?
You're not allowed to say anything.
Let's talk about Thursday Night Football, the season kickoff event, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the New England Patriots. And, you know, whenever I think about week one and a major 10-pole league events, I think Train is playing somewhere. They are. They're playing in San Francisco. That's beside the point. But in New England, the Patriots defend their title. Greg, is your excitement at all tempered by all the stuff that's going on around this game? Whether
no, it's a relief.
The suspensions.
It's a relief from all that stuff. It's an ability to focus on the thing that we all love and why we have this job. I mean, I can't remember how, like, I always get more excited for this game than any game all season. I guess maybe that should be obvious enough, but the week one Sunday is my favorite day of the year. And, like, I remember being so excited for Steelers-Dolphins one year. It just doesn't matter what the game is. And, you know, Tom Brady's in it, at least. It's, you know, you're missing your boy Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant, West, but still pretty good
just
game.
Just a minor thing? Yeah,
two of our favorite AFC teams, right? Two of the favorite.
When they're fully stocked, yes.
Two of the best franchises of the last decade.
When I think of 10-pool events and showpiece games, I think of Terrell Brown matched up against Darius Hayward Bay.
Whatever, that's one.
I mean, come on, it's hard to get excited for this matchup.
Oh,
for me.
Are you even being serious? You're not
being
serious.
I am being serious. It's very hard.
I'm going to be sitting across from you. You're going to be like all excited.
We've gone suspension happy. Let's play Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant.
Here's something interesting. I'm looking at our NFL.com game center, and the top two rushers last season for the Patriots, Jonas Gray and Shane Vereen, both gone. Greg, who's going to be toting the rock?
Well, and the starter for them, you know, throughout the playoffs, LeGarrette Blount. I think Deion Lewis is going to have a big factor in this game, West. I don't know if he's going to have a lot of carries.
I might.
Maybe
I like
eight
Deion
carries,
Lewis.
six
catches. He might find a place in my starting lineup for fantasy PPR week one.
Wow.
I think Roger Goodell will not be at this game, and neither will Pittsburgh's defense.
So you think this could potentially be a blowout?
I don't know if it's an all-out blowout because Pittsburgh's offense has got a lot of talent. But when I look at this game, it's like if the Patriots could prepare the way they did for the Super Bowl when all that Deflategate stuff was blowing up in their face and their embarrassing series of press conferences, they can prepare for this. They don't care about all this other junk. They're going to be there. It's a home
had
game.
Had a terrible preseason, for what it's worth. New offensive line pieces.
It's worth nothing, though. And I'm not shooting your point down, but the preseason in New England couldn't mean less.
How about Antonio Brown, 129 catches? Who's covering him? There are some things
Malcolm
to be
Butler.
Worried about in New England.
Malcolm
Butler crazy.
Terrell Brown.
Are you worried
Logan
about
Ryan.
New England's offensive line? Stork has a concussion right now at center. He might not play. The line has not looked great.
I think the Steelers' defense isn't going to be as bad as people think. I think it's a tough matchup. I mean, I had the Steelers as the best team in the AFC ultimately in my power poll. So I think it's a tough matchup.
I put absolutely zero stock in the Patriots' preseason struggles on offense. We've seen the last 3 or 4 years. This offense is dynamite when Gronk is on the field, and they are mediocre when he's not on the field. Gronk will be there.
Let's go around the horn with score predictions. Mark.
I will go Patriots 29, Pittsburgh 17, New England as the two best players on the field.
Mm. Wes.
Patriots 31, Steelers 17.
Wow, we almost had the same exact bet there. Mind meld.
I like the Steelers a lot. I think they're the best team in the AFC, but they'll get off to a slow start. I think there's too much emotion for the Patriots right now in a good way. I think they're going to channel that. They know what they're doing. They've got a great coach, unfortunately. I will say 34-17, a tough start for the Steelers.
Wow, three straight 17-point appearances.
Well, that tells you what this is going to be.
One of the reasons I'm excited about it, I have no idea what's going to happen in this game. I think the Patriots win a lower-scoring game, let's say 21-20. It'll be back and forth. I think you give Bill Belichick the edge here in terms of he's had so much time to prepare for this game and do enough on defense to slow him down. Plus, no love, Bell.
Did you say a score?
21-20. A nice, close, tight one.
That would be a fun little game. Yeah. All right, there you go. That is our Thursday night preview. Football's coming. Let's now move on to one of our favorite segments. We like to predict things, and what better way to marry a prediction with victory, winning and being gallant. And that's why we invented the game. Go get my lunch, you turd. Hear that? Wait, let's hear it again.
Oh, that hideous eating sound?
Is that an apple?
That's the hideous eating sound that dates back to Gold Standards producing the show.
Oh, I thought it was something to do with, I didn't know
that's
what
meant to be what a sandwich sounds like when you dig your mouth into a sandwich.
Yeah, we used to have more of a chewing thing. Now it's a one bite, which is less oppressive for the ears. I liked it better when
this
it was
used
very
to be
distracting.
Called, it used to have another bad word at the end of it, and we're still kind of trying to figure out what the right word is. That, for new listeners that haven't heard it, it's a long time game.
Got a lot of suggestions for go get my lunch jabroni.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
Solid, solid. So before we get into the predictions for the regular season, let's go over the predictions for the preseason. So we each had a couple of those. So I'm going to pull up our favorite website, gogetmylunch.org.
And this organization, I like that.
I cannot stress enough. Who's the gentleman that runs this site?
Nick Fortier.
The amount of work, and the guy knows what to do with HTML. He's very talented. He has all the props covered, so you can check it out right there. Gogetmylunch.org. He has lifetime standings. He breaks it down by different league events. So let's go through them real quick and then get into the regular season. We'll start with Chris Wessling. We just laid out one each, it looks like, here. So Chris Wessling said, Kristen Michael and Thomas Rawls are on Seahawks Week 1 roster. And Wes, you almost made it.
I lost.
But you did not. And Greg and Mark took sandwiches there.
All right.
We have sandwiches for Greg and Mark, and Wes with an 0-2 there. Mark Sessler, you said, this is a classic Sessler right here, excluding Tom Brady, at least one playoff QB from 2014 will miss Week 1 due to injury. So you're hoping that a prominent quarterback got hurt for the benefit of your lunch. Did not work out so far. You still have a few days left, but it looks like you're down sandwiches to the whole group. Dan, Greg, and Wes all clean up there.
Yeah, I was in a weird headspace. I kind of regret that proposition.
Greg, you also, it looked like you kind of ripped a victory from the jaws of defeat because you said Tom Brady will start Week 1.
What do you mean also? I'm the only one that got one right there, at least out of
Hold on, I held off on that.
Yeah, yes, Wes did not.
I bowed out.
Wow, that was very smart of you. That was an onion hanger.
That was. You hung some onion there and that you deserved it. And Dan and Mark owe you sandwiches as a result. And finally, the old Zeuser says that Sam Bradford will start Week 1, and that's looking very good. Mm. Greg, you did not take me on that, wise man, but both Wes and Mark did, so I pick up two sandwiches there.
That was a good one.
And
I thought he would tear his ACL for a third time.
That was the time when we still thought Sanchez could maybe beat him out. I did get a Twitter mention from our friend Nick Fortier, and he was listing my top three accomplishments of my life in order. Number one was rocking out with Delaware. Number two was first man to win 40 sandwiches and go get my lunch. That's number one. Number three is the birth of Walker, my son.
Number three.
Daughter, a comfortable third place.
That's weird.
The birth of the child.
So the standings for the preseason, Wes, you went 1-3.
Greg? 2-3. Oh, no, 1-3.
1-3. Greg, you went 3-1. And if you want to count the Yankees beating the Red Sox in the season series. That's another sandwich, baby.
I'm perfect. How could I get anyone wrong? I think I'm 4-0, baby.
Let's see. Oh, did I? Oh, you're right. I was counting our baseball bet. That doesn't count.
I think you took over first place in the standings. That's a big week for
you. It's been a good week.
I bounced
back
with
on the field.
I bounced back with a 4-1. Oof. And if you count, and I'm counting Trent Richardson in that. Mark, you are 1-6 in the preseason. So you had a great
draft.
Now you've come down to earth a little bit. So now this is a big bounce back regular season for you is on the line.
I think it's predictable that I would have tailed off big time.
All right. So that's where we are. Now let's go into it now. Let's do a little bit of a regular season sandwich props. And why not start with the man, Mark Sessler, who's looking to get back on the winning side of things.
All right, I'm going to start with a little bit of a prediction out of Minnesota, where Adrian Peterson will not lead the league in rushing.
He's not going to lead the league in rushing?
Nope.
I agree with you. I don't think he will. I'll take the field.
Okay.
I think he will, but I'm not going to say in this game, there's no way I would say that.
So I always take the field.
We're all taking the field.
All right, slow out of the gate this episode.
That's why we had you do multiple ones. can I get a chomp, Brandon? It gets my blood flowing.
Wow.
All right, Wes, you're up.
All right, real simple. Kristen Michael leads the Cowboys in rushing yards this season.
That's funny. I almost went down that road.
I will take a sandwich on that. I'll take the field in that one as well, especially when the field has underrated star Joseph Randall as part of it.
Underrated role player.
I'll take you up to. Although I think he's going to come close for the record.
He's going to lead the Cowboys in rushing.
Yes.
But note that Sessler, you know, you have to put it, Nick, out there that Sessler thinks it'll be close.
Well, meaningless.
He wants that sort of credit.
Wes, I'll take you up on that. I will
also
take the field.
All right, reel in three of them.
Because I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of ground to make up in the depth chart. It could change in week one. Who knows? But all right, here we go. I'll throw my first one out there. Excuse me, guys. Here we go. Peyton Manning will throw at least 30 touchdowns. 30 touchdowns.
This one's tough.
Peyton Manning.
That's a good number to pick because that's right at a weird
Thank
zone.
Thank you.
I'll take you up on that.
Thank
I
you.
Don't know if he'll make it through the year healthy, and I think they're going to run a lot more.
I'm not going to bite on that.
I'm not either.
I'm going to just stick with old Peyton Manning finding a way to be okay. Why not?
All right. Some cowards in the house. All right, Greg, you're up.
Fans, it wasn't that exciting.
Wes, thanks for playing the game.
Yep.
I can't find where I wrote down my things, but I can remember a few. All right, one to start. One to start.
You need a new system.
No, I wrote it down in here.
Greg has the Charlie Day, Charlie yes. Scratch notebook.
He has a spiral-bound notebook from 1991.
It's a picture of a chicken and a fish on there.
He could have the cure to cancer written on there, and no scientist would be able to make any gains for humans.
The St. Louis Rams will come in, just because I want to take your sandwiches, I want more on the line with this one, will come in at second place or better in the NFC West.
Oh, yeah, I'm all over that.
I'll take
so
that,
So they got to be better than Arizona.
And San Francisco. Who could be good? You never know.
I will take you up on that.
I found it.
Wait, what if they tie for second? That's
second place or better. They got to be all by themselves. No tie. I'll let you.
They have to be alone in second place. Then I'll take
it. Or better. Yeah.
Okay. I got you. Let's do it.
Good. I just like.
So a tie doesn't count. That's big for Dan.
They got to have a.
Wow, that's big for Dan.
I like.
Am I the only one that took it?
No, I took it.
I took it too.
We all took it.
Good. Look at
that. That was the whole point.
That's what I'm talking about. Mark, bring one this time. Let's go.
I believe in something.
This one's in-house. This one's in-house because you know that Greg has dropped out of our weekly picks contest for some personal reason.
Yeah, and we can get into that later at another point. But everyone that loves the part of the podcast where we have hero picks and we talk about every week, you know, who you got, all that's gone now because Greg has mysteriously decided he doesn't want to pick games anymore.
It's not gone. 5 ATL writers are picking games. There's hero picks. There's all the picks.
Yeah, but you were driving the whole thing.
How can you expect us to continue that when the boss quits?
I didn't quit. I'm just no longer making picks.
Mm. Okay, well, very suspicious.
Yes.
But, now listen, I don't want you guys to take this personally because I flipped a coin to put the names in the result here, okay?
Right.
It's not based on a personal belief, but I am going with this. Dan Hansis will beat Chris Wessling in our season-long picks contest.
I'll take you up on that.
I mean, I guess I'll take it. I guess so. I mean, I did beat Wes last year.
Wait.
Wes beat me the year before.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, you were horrid 2 years ago. You were quite good last year.
Right.
Okay.
So you.
I thought we were all struggling last year.
You're not taking that because you agree with him.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll win. So, yeah, I won't. Why would I pick Wes to beat me? I can't.
I'm taking that sandwich.
That way you can't. You could win out of the way if you take the sandwich. How about you?
Well, I feel like this is a no-win proposition for me. I'm, like, taking side. Either way, I guess I'm taking side.
No, you want to take – Wes is the mailman. You know, he's a football head. He's the scientist, all that malarkey.
None of that means anything in game picking.
Take the guy that knows everything or take, you know, old regular Joe.
I'm not
old regular Joe.
Take the guy – take the people's champ.
I'm sticking with the old
Take the Springsteen of the room.
Sticking with the old
Wow.
Shout across Wes's bow.
I'll remember that.
Yes.
That was the whole point.
That's what I'm talking about. Heat and tension.
See?
Wes.
Still got heat there.
You guys did this VOD before we started the podcast.
What does that mean, Brandon?
Video on demand.
Thank you.
Where you asked the question, will Kirk Cousins be removed from society by Ndamukong Suh & Company this week?
Mm-hmm.
Go get my lunch. Kirk Cousins not only stays in society in week one, but throws for at least 20 touchdowns and 3,000 yards this season.
How many touchdowns?
20 touchdowns and 3,000 yards.
20 is pretty low.
He would have to start all, you know, at
he
least
would.
14
he
or
would.
15 games to do it.
He's got some skill players around him.
He does.
Nice little running game. Got some targets. Jordan Reed stays healthy.
He's the one quarterback the coach likes.
Now the
coach loves Colt McCoy.
I will.
Here's the thing: if he started 14 games, he's getting those numbers.
Right.
just about anyone does.
Well, unless he plays terribly and gets, oh, he wouldn't get.
Let me read you a list of Jay Cutler didn't get those numbers.
He had a million touchdowns last year.
Did he?
He had close to 30, I think.
Well, I could see RG3 not even being on this team a month from now.
Yeah, but I almost see Colt McCoy as the option.
Jay Cutler did. Andy Dalton, Colin Kaepernick, Cam Newton all did not get those numbers last year.
Really?
They didn't get that out some games.
It's the touchdowns that's harder. I am going to take you up on that.
Yes!
Because I think the Redskins will ultimately be a losing team. We all had them near the bottom of our power polls. And losing teams change quarterbacks. RG3's still there, and he won't get to because of that.
You sold me on that. And the other reason I'm going to do this is because Mike Shanahan once said that John Beck was a man he would stake his reputation on. And Mike Shanahan also said that Kirk Cousins would be a star in this league. So that's enough for me to go the other way.
I think 3,000 yards is that's not that
better
impressive.
Better throw 3,000, yeah.
And I think he's going to start 14 games probably this season. And I think that throwing 20 touchdowns with some of the wide receivers they have, when they're going to be getting crushed in games. They're going to have to throw the ball a ton. If that alone, I'm not taking you up on this one.
No, this was a good one. If you believe at all in Kirk Cousins, it was a good one. You got two off us. What, you're not going for it?
No, because I think he will achieve those numbers. I mean,
It's also, Mark, you know, most people, when they throw out a proposition for the sandwiches, they're like a little disappointed if people didn't take them up. Mark loves it.
Oh,
Mark is
it.
Just trying to keep as much skin out of the game
right.
as
That's
possible.
Not true.
He's not
because
taking any bad.
Well, wait, the reason that I got taken to town in the preseason one is that I took everyone up on everything. I'm looking back on it, and I must have been on like some sort of, who knows what was going
this
on.
This is, speaking of skin, I know I'll get skin on this one. If I don't, you're all cowards because I've heard the laughs and the snickers. The Jets will win more than 8 games. Come on, give me 3. Don't turn on me now.
So they have to go 9-7.
If they win 8 games.
At least 9 wins.
If they win 8 games.
At least 9 wins for the Jets.
I'll take you up.
I'll take that.
That's how you hang onions, by the way. Take notes. Take chances. Believe in your feelings. And go for it.
And this is one, the exact same one was thrown out there last year after week 1. I don't know if you guys remember.
I do remember.
The Jets came off a win, and it was thrown out. The Jets will have a winning record, and none of us took it up. Oh, we all were like, nope, we all agree the Jets are going to be winning teams. So
there's a lot of reason for hope after that.
By the way, we should explain, you know, if it's a first-time listing, you know, there's going to be some high-octane hot sandwiches that'll be delivered if you lose these propositions.
Absolutely.
That's what happens.
It's a costly endeavor to lose a lot of sandwiches.
Hundreds of dollars. If you have a family, you're in big trouble.
Greg.
You 4 people among our group picked Andrew Luck to win the MVP. I'm going to say, go get my lunch. Andrew Luck will not even get a single MVP vote. How about that?
I'll take you up on that.
Wait, are there 50 votes? Is that correct?
There are 50 votes.
I will definitely
take you up. You're not even going to get a vote, Andrew. Sorry.
Wow, this is a good question.
You are good at these. You seem to be zoned in on these.
I banged you on the vote last year, didn't I?
There was one about Zimmer, was it? It's someone on the Coach of the Year vote, and you won it. Yes, you did.
I'll take you up on this one. Luck won't get a single MVP. I'll take you up on
this. So he's not going to have a great year, and the Colts aren't going to be very good, is what you're saying.
Well,
he's going to have a good year, not a great year, and the Colts aren't going to be good.
Most years, you know, part of my thinking with this, I'll say, is most years, I mean, not a ton of people get MVP votes. It's just a couple people.
Yeah,
you could be the 5th best player in the league.
I wrote
that he would win because I believe it. I mean, enough in that he's a good situation to do
right.
it, to go
basically,
12-4.
If you wrote that and you're not taking me up on it, you're a lily-livered
nice
person.
I got to see how many people got votes last year. Last year, it was...
Rodgers, Romo, and...
6 people got votes, including Bobby Wagner.
Luck's going to get...
Oh, yeah, thank you, Tony Dungy.
Tony Dungy having a vote really makes things a little more complicated.
And Andrew Luck, yeah.
Dungy could be our saving grace.
We just need Bob Kravitz to come through for us.
the old
this
Kravitz.
One's, I'm struggling with this one. I'll take you up on it.
Okay.
Is that 3? All 3 of us took you?
Yeah.
All right.
Why not? All right. Another round, last round. Here we go,
last
Mark.
Round. Here is my, final
let's
one.
Go 4 rounds.
Okay, go ahead. Next one.
Oh, all right. Then I'm not going to use
audio only.
Right,
let's go.
Let's go.
How about this? Brock Osweiler will make at least 1 start for the Broncos this season.
Another injury.
One again.
It doesn't have to be from an injury. Maybe Manning's not getting the job done. I didn't know. It's going to be one
I'm
of
not
the
rooting against injuries.
On principle, I never
so I'm
get
not taking this.
Wait, but if I... I guess I'm saying Peyton Manning will start 16 games.
Oh, yeah, so you're on the side of
power. I am taking the sandwich.
Yeah.
On principle, I have to
On principle, I will take it as well.
Okay, so much principle in this
Yeah,
room.
No. We're
gentlemen these people are.
We're principled individuals.
Yeah,
I believe
yeah.
in morals. I believe in the right way to do things.
Oh yeah,
we're two
so
of the classic.
Another season
people in
of Mark rooting for an iconic quarterback to get hurt.
I didn't say hurt. I think that Brock Osweiler, who the team seems to really like,
you think Peyton Manning's going to get benched this year?
If the Broncos ever really struggled, I could see them putting him out there for one game.
Or they could go 14-1 and they could sit him in the last week.
There you go. It could happen through multiple ways. It's not specific, so
that's pretty unlikely.
Bring in some strategy.
No, he played a couple series.
Wait,
probably.
you have a 40-year-old quarterback. You want to rest him in week 17 when you sealed up the AFC West?
He would insist sandwiches play for Cecily.
Yeah, I hadn't even considered that.
All right, Wes, are you going to do that?
I'm not taking that. I don't have any kind of read on injuries. I can't predict that.
No one can.
Sure. Nobody can.
I'm not taking
it. And yet it keeps coming up in this game. Wes, you're up.
It's not an injury base.
All right, hang with me here. Brandon Cooks has more touches between catches and runs than the next two Saints wide receivers or tight ends combined.
That's interesting. That's complicated.
Well, just to figure out, do you think Brandon Cooks will have 100 touches or 90 touches?
And the next two guys are going to be sitting there in the 40s and 30s.
That's for you to find out.
So Saints wide receivers and tight ends, you said?
Yeah.
The next Josh two, Hill, Benjamin Watson.
Colston.
Brandon Coleman.
From the tight end,
possibly?
I have no problem from that with the tight end angle. And it's just you have to – some wide receiver would have
plus
to –
plus you're counting touches. You know, you're trying to be sneaky with the old touches. But I
he
think
– he might get an end around or a jet sweep
I think it's
going
to sneak backfire runs on you because that makes me less want – it makes me want to take it less.
Who's going to have the most catches on the Saints really is what it probably comes down to.
Easy
right?
Cooks
should by a lot.
Yeah.
But who is the third guy? Because Colston, let's give him 60.
Spiller? Is that the wide receiver?
Wide receiver tight ends.
Well, it basically said we don't believe it, Josh Hill.
I just like action, so maybe I will take it. Let's
come on, take it.
I won't take this one.
Ooh.
So I think he'll lead the team in catches.
I will not
double
take
the
it.
Next. He has to double the next two. I want to look at how many runs has Brandon Cooks had.
I think he
has to double the next
something.
Two.
They were using him last year that way.
More than the next.
Oh, I will take that, Wes. I'll
more
take
than
that.
The next
I'm sorry.
Two combined.
Yep, I will take that.
He had 7 runs last year. That's pretty significant for this. Mm.
It's good to keep.
Sure,
in
you
mind.
Don't want any of this action?
No.
What do you have action on so far, Mark?
Now, I don't know. I don't keep that's
running
go
back,
get my lunch.org's job. I don't do
his
that.
His name either. Is Nick Fortier.
He's a wonderful guy.
So this doesn't count running back receptions or anything.
No.
No.
It's
no running backs are not involved because you can't do touches with them. I mean, they're going to have 300.
I'm taking mine back.
What?
I don't want to do it.
Oh, like it are you lily-livered?
Yeah.
I'll stay with you, Wes.
All right, good.
Taking it back.
Dan going down to the store buying some sandwiches.
I never would have thought Greg would back out
listen,
on a sandwich.
Mark, if I'm going to play the game, I'm going to play the
all
game.
Right. I don't sure. like that you're impugning my integrity. I am a man of integrity. As
reeled him back in!
I'll go back.
Reeled him in!
Too easy.
All right, here we go.
The AFC North will only have one playoff team. No wild cards out of the old North.
I will take you up on that.
All right, here we go. Here's mine. This is about...
Was that not a real one?
Oh, that is a real one. I've got 3 onions just sitting here on the table. 3 straight onion hangers, and you're all going
it's
for all of them.
It's stinky in here because there's so many onions hanging.
I'm kind of jealous of that question.
All right, here we go. Mark, this is about the team that you are on a separation from, the Cleveland Browns.
Greg threw one out.
What?
Yeah, he threw one out.
He
skipped you.
Turn. You know, we go audio only, and the whole thing falls
apart.
What
did you say?
I said the AFC North will only have one playoff team. I didn't. I thought I was next.
I'm taking you up on that.
No,
then we'll go to Dan's question.
I won't take you on that.
All right.
I mean, it's a bad question anyway.
I'm not jealous of the question.
I'm not taking it.
All right. Only Mark. Sorry, Dan.
Oh, look at Mark takes no chances.
Nice job. You're on fire now. All right. Here we go. The Browns, Mark, a team that you have no connection with anymore, so this won't bother you at all.
Not in the least.
The Cavs will win 3 games before the Browns. All right, here's the breakdown of the schedule. The Cavs open their season on 10/27, October 27th. They play their third game on October 30th. And just for your knowledge, they've played 8 games by 11/10, just so you know. Browns open the season, of course, on September 13th. And they will have played 7 games by the time the Cavs play their third game. So the Browns basically have 7 games to get to 3 wins.
Cavs have to go undefeated.
Cavs roll 3-0, but it can go as long as it can go into almost mid-November, potentially, if the Cavs get out of the gate slow.
Before the Cavs ever play a game, the Browns have matchups against the Titans, Raiders, and Rams.
Mm.
Well, along with the Jets.
And the Jets.
And the Jets. 10th best team in football.
Oh, that's a loss. You already said they're losing 35-6.
Their bye week is week 11, November after November 15th. So they would have to get 3 wins by then. They'd have to be at least 3-7. Probably need to get to 3-6 to win this one.
That's tough. I will.
You are a factory
which side
of
are you
sadness.
Taking?
Yeah,
you
which side are you on?
You are a factory of sadness. You are a factory of sadness.
The Cavs.
Text me none.
You're on the Cavs side.
Yes.
I agree with you.
I will go the Browns will win, the Browns side.
He's already coming back.
Number one, that doesn't make them good. They'd be, what, 3-5, 3-6 or something?
They got to get to 3-6, although there's a
They'll win one game they shouldn't win and 2 games they should. That's not. If you said 4, I don't think I'd do it, but 3, you got me.
I had it originally in my mind as 4, and then I said, I got to push it back.
I think we've done this question before remains interesting because
that's why I ran it back.
It's a true weird one.
Greg?
I'm not going to take it. It'll be 2-6 or something like that.
Lily liver.
So, did you take it?
I did not. Mark took back-to-back.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so now I am flying.
He's on an island.
Your little comfortable narrative is starting to crumble.
You're in his head.
All right, last time around. Here we go.
Here's my last one. Sorry, Greg, but the Patriots will miss the playoffs for the first time since 2008.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Good for you, Mark. I'll take you on that. Good job.
Yeah,
I'm considering it.
I'm taking it.
Come on.
Yeah, that's
something weird's going to happen. Powerful. I just feel it.
An injury, perhaps?
No, I don't know. Just something strange.
Well, it's a better chance of happening than trading Tom Brady to the Browns, like you said a couple of
times. Well, that was a gutsy one, too. Look at the narrative's crumbling on all fronts.
I have 2 questions that I really want to ask. Can I do an extra one?
Sure. Sure, Wes.
All right. Well, let me throw out this one first.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston is benched, flat out benched at least once. Could be in game, could be for an entire game.
In game, that's tricky because how do you know what's the difference?
For performance, not for injury. Well, they can't cite an injury whatsoever.
What if they're down 37-12 and he's played bad and it's the middle of the fourth quarter? Does that count as getting benched? To me, that's not necessarily a benching. You know what I mean?
It has to be for performance reasons.
I'll tell you what, it's a good question. I'm not going to take you because this is the worst offensive line of football, and I think even just for his psyche, they might have to do this at some point. And you've got an okay backup in Mike Glennon, so I see him getting benched.
I'll take you on that.
Ooh, nice.
I will not take you on that one.
Wow, that was a good one. I'll take you. They're gonna.
Let's try to hang some onion at these last ones. I hope hope everybody's hungry.
I use my onion hangers.
Okay, that's good. All right, Wes, I'm gonna go back to a well. Last season,
you didn't even listen to my last question, Dan.
No, I liked it. It was only one team in the AFC North make the playoffs. It's not imaginative.
In-house ombudsman.
You just literally used the same question that someone else came up with.
That's right. I got the question from last.
No, literally, you just copied like K. Rich or someone.
Totally tweaked it. It was a tweak. All right, here we go. Wes, I came close on this one last year. I'm getting a little reinforcement this year. J.J. Watt. I'm going to join him up with Jadeveon Clowney coming back from microfracture surgery. We'll have more sacks combined than Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. I got Clowney too.
Wait, what?
I'm not taking that.
I'm not taking that.
You guys
What's
all think
the opposite of an onion hanger? That was a.
Wait, well, all you guys all of a sudden think Jadeveon Clowney is going to be the South Carolina guy? He walks with a limp for Christ's sake.
You also have J.J. Watt, the best player in the league.
All he needs is like 4 sacks out of Clowney, and you're up to like 25 sacks. That means Ware and Miller both get double.
That was a diced tomato from the huddle hanger.
I thought it was a good one, so I stand by.
It's interesting. I thought about it, but.
I didn't have to think too hard about it.
He throw any live body out there next
exactly.
to J.J. Watt.
Exactly. I would say J.J. Watt and, anyone on the Texans. And
Brian Cushing?
Take my chances. Well, he's not going to get sacked.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe someone that
sacked him and the quarterback.
I mean, first of all, you're not going to go. Second of all, you don't want to fight me. Third of all, I'm the man.
I'm the man.
That's true. You don't want
I always want to add him just for that reason. All right, Greg.
Well, I don't know if this is an onion hanger. I'll throw out the one I mentioned before. Austin Davis. I'll just go Austin Davis starts more games than Johnny Manziel for the Browns.
Oh, why don't you throw in McCown and make it a real onion hanger?
I don't believe that, though.
I think they like Austin Davis. And there's really nothing we've seen from the other Browns quarterbacks that suggests that all three won't play. And you could be talking about three games versus two, but I'll take you up. Why not?
I'll take you.
I'll take you.
I think I could lose those. I mean,
you love Austin Davis.
They've started three quarterbacks in like four of the last 7 years.
Right. So they'll all maybe get a start.
And finally, last one.
First round pick.
Chris Wessling.
All right. I throw some onions out here. Tavon Austin, his first 2 years. His rookie year, 569 yards from scrimmage. His second year, 466 yards from scrimmage. Tavon Austin goes over 1,000 yards from scrimmage this year.
Okay. I will take you up on that.
That's hanging the onions.
That's not that crazy.
That's like his first 2 years combined.
Finally breaks out. Interesting.
1,000 yards.
Well, it's also in theory the first year during his career that they have a plugged-in starting quarterback.
This is a player whom Roto-World does not believe is a corporeal entity. He doesn't even exist.
Don't take that out on us. But if he has like 850 yards receiving and 175 rushing, people aren't going to be saying, wow, that Tavon Austin. So it's not that high of a bar. You know what
I'm saying? He had 220-something yards rushing last year, I believe.
Okay, so he'll probably get that.
I'm not taking you because I think that's
yeah. Really? I thought for sure you would all take this.
He's not going to have 1,000 yards. What have we seen in his first 2 years to suggest
he's going to be done it? He could have 200 rushing, 800 receiving on a team with no wide receivers.
He's never even played 50% of the snaps.
He disappears for months at a time.
This is a no-brainer. You got to take this one.
They're a better run team. They're going to be able to do more with him. Yeah. Got Nick Foles over a bunch of nobodies. I don't think that Nick Foles is anything special, but I think
guy couldn't break an arm tackle to save his life. They're not going to put him out on the field.
Ryan not there,
West,
and he's a
first
round pick
used
trying to
car
break
salesman.
It. You got to take this deal. It's a great deal. Look,
they're
not going to
play him. They've got studs like Brian Quick and Stedman Bailey.
Well, but wait a minute. You believe he's going to do it? It makes sense that you think he will.
You think he's going to do it?
Of course.
Of course. I threw my onions out there.
Well, I don't think he's going to do it.
All right. Well, Dan's taking you. Dan's
I'm taking
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Are you taking it?
I'm taking it.
I think he will do it.
Ooh.
I don't think it's that special.
This is a one-time deal. You got to take this right now. You never know. I'm not cheating.
When you got Hall of Famers like Stedman Bailey on the roster,
this is
you
just
don't
crazy.
Cincinnati Huckster.
You don't play table. Hey, look, I'm just telling you what Roto-World told me.
Irishman. You got one. I mean, every time behind the glass, you got to let the producer throw one out there. He's destined to lose. Mm-hmm. He or she, there's never been a winning go-get-your-lunch proposition by the producer. Can you break the streak?
I hope so. I'm thinking with DeMarco Murray leaving Dallas, I'm going to say Tony Romo has more passing yards than Eli Manning.
So last year, Romo had 3,705 and Eli had 4,410.
That's right. You said hang some onions. So
by the way,
it is.
That's the first time the guy behind the glass hasn't asked something completely insane.
That is one of the better producer questions.
I'll take you up on this because Romo's missing at least one game.
I'll take you up too. Good question.
I'm not taking you up on this. I'd take Romo over Eli.
Romo will have more yards than Eli?
Correct.
You know how bad that Giants defense is? Eli's throwing from behind every game.
That's fair. That's a good point, but I'm still not taking.
I don't think Romo will have more.
See, hey, that you say good ones when they split.
Yeah, no, that's a great one.
So Greg's the only one who took that?
No, I took it.
Nope.
No, ooh. Three of you guys took it. He said
Oh,
Romo.
Greg's the only one who didn't take it.
Yes.
Okay.
Romo will throw more than Eli, he's saying.
No, yeah, I'm going with Eli.
I'm saying Eli will throw more than
I agree, Romo. Yeah. All right, there you go.
There it is.
That's it. Those are the wagers are in. The propositions, excuse me, Nick Fortier. we'll compute them in the old...
I liked it. One of the traditions of this game is that we never get Nick Fortier's name correct.
Well, I imagine Nick Fortier, like in a padded cell, screaming that, it's Fortier! It's Fortier!
Hey, I don't. By the way, if you're in the U.S. jail system, you're not running websites for the most part.
Sure.
He's in jail?
All right.
Well, Dan suggested that.
I didn't say he was in jail.
I don't
just
think
like
he's
a cell.
Was driven insane by his name being mispronounced.
Fair.
All right, so that's it for... Tuesday's edition of the Around the NFL podcast. We will be back on Thursday night with the big recap of week one's kickoff game. And we'll get into a preview of all the games for Sunday and Monday. So get excited. Dan Hans is signing off for the Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and Brandon behind the glass.